Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, please pour out your grace and mercy on all the people around the world that are suffering this incredible distress, this torture, this oppression, this needless oppression, Father, at this particular point in time. Encourage your hearts and use this, Father, to bring people, whatever their situation is, if they're unsaved, bring them to salvation. If they are walking with the Lord, that they would draw closer. And Father, in regards to me and this message, please fill me with the Holy Spirit and help the words to flow for the sake of all the people that will hear this important message. Please pour out your grace and mercy on me as well as the ears of all the people out there, Father. I ask they would have ears to hear and a heart to receive. In Jesus' holy name, amen. What I'd like to do is direct your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, a very, very important passage. It has always been very important. This passage says, this is the last chapter of that book. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong." Now, right now, at this particular point in time, especially, these four points are vital. That first one, be on your guard because deceit is prospering. Stand firm in the faith because many are going to fall away. Be men of courage and be strong because trouble, even to the point of martyrdom, is coming and is coming soon. Perhaps some of you might have heard about what is going on in France. Over in France, it has already been announced, the president of the country, Macron, he stated come August the 1st, there will be no public transportation, no entry into shopping malls, cafes, restaurants, or other venues without what they're calling a health pass. To get the health pass, you have to have the depopulation injection or a negative COVID test. That's the only way you can get this health pass to do these things. And if you violate that and you get in a business and they catch you, you'll go to jail for 6 months plus get a fine. And the business owner will go to jail for 1 year plus a very big fine. Now, that is probably going to trickle from France to England to the United States. But if it goes a different path, it really doesn't make any difference because it's going to travel all over the earth, all over the world. And this is coming. It's unstoppable. And it's coming quick. It's like a ball rolling down off a mountainside. More and more snow is getting accumulated in that snowball as the avalanche gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Klaus Schwab recently spoke of a comprehensive cyber attack. They had Cyber Polygon, which is similar to Event 201. And that was about a cyber attack, quote unquote attack. And he said this. Now, grab hold of this because this is most shocking. He said, can you imagine a comprehensive cyber attack? And then he said, that will make COVID-19 seem like a small disturbance. Well, if COVID-19 has been a small disturbance, and it has bankrupt people around the world, look at all the trouble, all the problems, all the misery. If that's a small disturbance, imagine what they have planned. They're going to shut the power off and maybe keep it off. But regardless, as the Bible says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. So let's think about this a minute. Because it says be strong. Now, how is it that some of these physically weak Christians can be strong? It's not talking about physical strength. It's talking about spiritual strength. So how do you get to be spiritually strong for the days ahead? Now, over here in the United States at this moment in time, it's the calm before the storm. We could see the dark clouds on the horizon. They're quickly rolling in to our direction, and there's no let up afterwards. So how do you get to be strong? It says in 1 Peter 2:2, to crave the word. You can pray for strength. Pray about everything. Pray for that. Become fully committed to God if you're not. If you have any kind of sin, anything that's not right, anything outside of the will of God, get rid of it. You better get fully committed to God 100% because, folks, you're going to be tested to the ultimate here and now in this life. I'm talking about you're going to be tested to the point of martyrdom or to take the mark of the beast. And if you take that mark, you're going to end up in the lake of burning sulfur. It says in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Now, there's no question that for the vast majority of the people on the planet, we have entered a time of hardships and misery and trouble and problems and distress, unlike at any other time in our whole life. And of course, this is on a worldwide scale. I firmly, fully believe we have entered the Great Tribulation, even though some people mock and they scoff. They say, nah, it can't be. No way. It's impossible. But it isn't. We are in the Great Tribulation. And as I stated, this is the calm before the storm. Big, big, big trouble is coming our direction. Our future, very soon, is shown in Revelation chapter 13, verse 10. If anyone is going to captivity, in a captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Well, what's the context? The context is patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints regarding going into captivity. Not what you're going through right now, but what is coming when they take you away from your house. You lose your house, your car, everything, and you're killed by the sword. Now imagine that. Now that Bill Gates has conquered the health industry, obviously, there's big trouble with that. Anybody working in the health industry, medical doctor, technician, nurse, they're losing their job unless they get this COVID injection, which has graphene oxide in it, according to several sources. And that's supposed to be a poison. And that fits perfectly with what seal number one says. I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow. The word for bow is toxon, which we get toxic from. He held a bow and he was given a crown. That's where we get corona from in Latin. And he rode as a conqueror bent on conquest. That's Bill Gates. Bill Gates is the Antichrist. And I believe, without question, his business partner, Fauci, is the false prophet. So our future soon is shown in the Word of God, Revelation 13, verse 10, captivity and being killed by the sword. And especially, we need patient endurance and faithfulness regarding that. Now, of course, we're at home, nice and comfortable, eating our favorite food, whatever it is, all the luxuries and the creature comforts that we can get. But things are going to change. And this is how we need to prepare ourselves, because suffering is commonplace for the righteous. Listen, folks, listen, 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 listen. The earthly life of our dear family of the past, Hebrews 11, 35 through 39, others were tortured and refused to be released so they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskin, goatskin, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and the mountains and the caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. I can't say for sure. I don't know how much longer any of us are going to live. But chances are, it's very probable, highly probable, what's going to happen to us? They're going to starve us out, freeze us out, confiscate our home and our property, We're going to be taken into captivity. Our heads will be cut off, and then we go to paradise. I don't want to just stop with the martyrdom of decapitation, because it doesn't end there. What happens afterwards is hallelujah, just the beginning. We go to paradise to be with the Lord Jesus. Now, Klaus Schwab said, perhaps you might have heard him say it. He stated, well, this pandemic, of course, it's really a scamdemic. It's a plandemic. He said, this gives us the opportunity for a great reset. Well, let's look at it a different way. It gives us an opportunity, all right. It gives the saints the opportunity to glorify the Lord Jesus with our death. And that's exactly what Jesus said Peter would have the opportunity to do in John chapter 21, to glorify him with his death. We're going to have that opportunity. It says in Revelation chapter 13, 16, and 17, and he forced everyone, small, great, rich, poor, free, slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. The squeeze is happening now. That squeeze is going to get tighter and tighter and tighter, meaning more and more trouble, more and more suffering, requiring more and more godly courage. And like Paul wrote, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. That's everybody. The men, the women, all Christians. Now, there are things that we need to know for the days ahead. This is spiritual truth that we need to sink our teeth in like a bulldog and hold on to, just like you know your name. Grab hold of some of these truths. They're sprinkled about throughout Scripture. Hebrews 12, verse 3. It says, consider him, referring to Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So that's one of the most important things you'll be able to do for the days ahead. Consider Jesus and what he went through, all the unjust treatment. He was spit in the face, slapped in the face, punched in the face, hit in the face with rods, flogged, crucified. Imagine that. And the rod he was hit with was the staff. Now imagine that. Trouble, suffering for the faithful before paradise. This is our test. Folks, this is a test that we're going through right now. So that scripture is the key, the one in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 I just gave you. Do not fear death. That's another one. Do not fear your death. Your death is coming. Your death will not be avoided. You're going to die. I'm speaking to the average person. You're going to die. Do not fear death. Death equals departure, equals exodus from our physical body to go wherever you should be based on your spiritual condition at that point. It's kind of interesting to me, very interesting, that the Greek word is actually exodus for departure, found twice in the New Testament. Now, if you're acquainted with the book of Exodus, that was their departure from Egypt, Egyptian slavery and bondage. They departed that, the book of Exodus. Well, Peter said of himself, and I will make every effort to see that after my departure, that's Exodus in the Greek, you will always be able to remember these things. And then in Luke chapter 9, verse 31, we read that Greek word again. Appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, that's Exodus, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. They're talking, that's Elijah and Moses, are talking with the Lord Jesus about Jesus' death. Here called an exodus or a departure. Now, a 30-second side trip. I need to say this, and I'll get back on the subject. There's some people out there that believe in soul sleep, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Lord Jesus spoke with Moses. Moses had died, the tail end of the book of Deuteronomy. You could read about his death. But here he is. He appeared at the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah, who never died. And those two and Jesus are conversing about Jesus' death. For the Seventh-day Adventists and the Jehovah's Witnesses to say, oh, no, that's really nothing because it's only a vision. Well, they're actually saying, unwittingly, that Jesus, therefore, if it was a non-entity, because that's what it would be then, in Moses' case, it would be inferring that Jesus was speaking with a non-entity, which is ludicrous. Then we have the same exact Greek word referring to Exodus, and actually translated Exodus, Hebrews 11:22. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. And then the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. The time has come for my departure. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's not the end. It's the end of this life. We're leaving here, and we're going to depart to a much, much, infinitely better place than this miserable, cursed world, especially how Bill Gates has turned this thing into what it is. It says in James chapter 2, verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Notice, the body without the spirit is dead. And when the spirit departs to go wherever it should go, based upon its spiritual condition at that point, that's when the body dies. But the spirit, the soul of man, just goes to wherever it should go. So this is very important to view death in the proper manner. Now grab hold of this. This is a very important passage because Jesus did a whole lot of things for us. And he freed us in at least two major areas. In Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15, we read of a little known area. It says, since the children have flesh and blood, he, that's Jesus, too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in the slavery of the fear of death. It speaks of here the slavery of the fear of death. Well, if you're acquainted with Romans chapter 6, Jesus also sets us free from sin addictions. So we're set free from sin addictions as well as the slavery of the fear of death. That's what precious Jesus has done for us. Those of us that have repented, and we're following him. We've taken up our cross, we're denying ourselves daily, and we're following him in this ungodly, wicked world that we live in. The Apostle Paul wrote, now this is not just him, this is especially the book, 2 Corinthians, was written as well by Timothy, based on the beginning of that epistle. Paul wrote, we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home at the body or away from it. They preferred to die to go home to be with the Lord. Now, folks, if you get to that point, that's going to make a major change in your life, in your spiritual strength. Now, of course, you don't do anything stupid, anything unscriptural. You don't kill yourself. You don't do anything stupid like that. In God's timing, it says in Philippians 1, 23 and 24, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. So here again, the Apostle Paul divulged his heart. He desired to depart. He wanted to die. But it's better for the saints that he hangs around here So that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to stay here for their sake, which would mean more trouble, more persecution, more prison time for Paul. But he wanted to do it for the saints. The people that unwisely take the mark of the beast, they will soon be physically dead, not that long afterwards, not too much longer afterwards. Within the next several years after getting the mark of the beast, they'll have painful, ugly, ulcerated sores on their body. They're going to suffer the wrath of God being poured out on this planet here and now, and then they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire for eternity. So I mentioned the mark of the beast more than one time. So what's the mark of the beast? The mark of the beast is on the right hand or the forehead. And the word, the Greek word for hand, can be from the finger to the wrist to the forearm to the arm. It's going to be on the right hand or the forehead, and it's a scannable mark. And we know, according to the World Wide Web, all kinds of articles out there showing that Bill Gates went to MIT for the vaccination record, for the vaccination record to be on the physical body, and for that mark to actually glow under a smartphone app because of an enzyme called luciferase. And the thing that they came up with was the microneedle vaccine. It's going to look like a Band-Aid with Velcro on it. And that design of those little microneedles that looks like Velcro, that design came from snake fangs. Folks, this thing has the devil written all over it. It's right before us. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is the Great Tribulation, and the mark of the beast, the real mark of the beast, will soon be here. You will need that mark on your body to buy or sell. Now, at this point in time, I want you to know where we are and the summary of the rest of your earthly life. That is, if you are the typical God-fearing servant of God at this moment in time, wherever you may live. This is a summary of the rest of your earthly life, seals 3 and 4. Seal 3 is right in front of us. Seal 3 is food scarcity. A quart of wheat for a day's wage, 3 quarts of barley for a day's wage, and do not damage the oil and the wine. But seal four is when 2 billion people on the planet are going to die. 1/4 of Earth's population, and the ones being killed with the sword here, these are the faithful that endure, that remain faithful to Jesus, and then after they die, they go to paradise. But I want you to grab hold of this. Here's a very important point. Seal 4 is when they start dying, and there's also going to be famine, plague, and people dying as well by wild beasts of the earth. So if they're going to start dying, if the faithful saints are going to start dying, they're dying martyrs getting decapitated at Seal 4, then the mark of the beast is coming out before Seal 4. And we're almost at Seal 3. Well, how far is Seal 3 away? Well, it's hard to say. All they have to do is have their announced cyber attack. That's all. Just shut the power down. If they shut the power down, the truckers won't get the gasoline. They won't be able to deliver the food to the stores, and the power's going to be shut down. Well, for sure, that's going to be Seal 3, but it's going to be worse than that because famine will never end. Food scarcity will never cease. Once it hits, folks, that's it. There's no such thing as going afterwards back to the store and getting plenty of food and other supplies. So a good summary of the rest of your life are seals 3 and 4. That's all. That's how close it is. But remember, this is temporary. this misery, this time of suffering and trouble and pain and adversity and distress. It's all temporary. It's a test. And it's an opportunity. Our opportunity. Klaus got his ungodly opportunity. And we have ours. An opportunity to glorify the Lord Jesus with our death. As a martyr. When we get our head cut off because we refuse wisely the mark of the beast. Again, the typical life here on this planet for everyone is a test, a spiritual test. And never forget that. That's what you're going through right now, a test. That's what they went through, Paul and Peter and Timothy and all the rest. They were tested. We are being tested. So Christians have been freed from the slavery of the fear of death. So that makes a massive difference in the way you should view what is coming. What they're going to do, they view the people that have not taken this injection. They're calling it a vaccine. A number of different medical experts refuse to call it a vaccine. They say it's not a vaccine. And what they're going to do to such people, us, what they're going to do is to take us into captivity and cut our head off because they think we're spreading germs, that we're unsafe to everyone, including the people that took the injection. They're also saying we are not scientific, whereas the people that unwisely, blindly took that poisonous injection into their body, they are scientific. They did the right thing. They did the smart thing, of course, complying with Bill Gates and company. That's what they want us to think. But it's coming down to the end. We are the last generation, folks. This is not going to go on and on and on. We are the last generation. And this is the great tribulation. So the demand to provide proof of vaccination is increasing more and more and more. And in July 2021, here we are, the latter part of July 2021. At this moment in time, throughout the world, primarily it's the vaccination card or some kind of online verification that you have their health pass, their common pass, their vaccine passport, whatever they're calling it. But coming soon, is going to be the proof of vaccination on the body. That's the culmination of it. That's the mark of the beast. The proof of vaccination on the right hand or the forehead that can be scanned and it will be connected to currency. And it might be connected to currency after people take the mark. Because I can guarantee, in light of the fact that the devil and the Antichrist are behind the mark of the beast and everything that's going on right now, it's coming deceitfully. But of course, even in the book of Daniel, it clearly says, this seed is prospering, truth is thrown to the ground. So they're not going to be open. They're not going to tell you, this is the mark of the beast. They're not going to tell you that. They probably won't even say, you take the booster for COVID vaccine coming out maybe this fall, you take this microneedle vaccine onto your body and it'll leave a mark. The proof that you took it, that is scannable. They probably won't even say that. Oh, folks, it's coming down to the wire. It's very exciting, very thrilling. Imagine seeing Jesus. Hallelujah. Imagine seeing him. Imagine being in paradise to be away from this cursed age. But trouble and suffering is going to increase. It says in John 16, verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world you will have trouble. The word for trouble can mean tribulation. Philippians 1:29, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. To suffer for him. That's unavoidable. It's coming to everyone. It's not just unique in your case. It's coming globally, all over the world. There's no escape. Listen to this. This is in the book of Revelation. This should be very encouraging. Revelation 7, verse 9. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no man could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And then several verses later, Revelation 7, 13, one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they? And where do they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know," and he said, "These are they've come out of great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are," now listen to this part, Revelation 7, 15 through 17. "They are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." These are the saints that get decapitated. They get beheaded based on Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And they go to heaven. They go to paradise. A great multitude that no man can count. That's all you got to be. It's just like the great multitude. You don't have to be an Apostle Paul. You got to just be like the great multitude that's going to stand firm. You're going to remain faithful to Jesus. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and not loving our life so much as to shrink from death. And why should we shrink from death? After they cut our head off, we immediately go to paradise. There's nothing better. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is very, very, very exciting. Aren't you tired of this world? All the wickedness that's all over the place. All the injustice, all the lies. The sin is increasing, just like Jesus said. And things are tightening up. The night is coming when no man can labor, according to what Jesus said. John chapter 9, verse 4. The day is coming. You'll hear your last sermon. Do you have the word of God in your heart? If they take you into captivity, you're not going to have a Bible with you. You got to memorize it. Get it in your heart. Now's the time. Get ready. Folks, it's coming. It's unstoppable. It's a freight train coming in our direction. It's going to arrive. Jesus said, Matthew 10, verse 28, "Do not be afraid of those that kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Don't even fear him. James wrote of the example of the prophets. Listen to this. James 5, verse 10. "Brothers, as an example of patience," which means forbearance, "in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." Jesus spoke of the prophet's reward. And then if we reminisce, partial reminiscence of the prophets in the Old Testament, we read where God spoke to Ezekiel. God said to Ezekiel, "But you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though there are briars and thorns all around you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house." Three times, "Do not be afraid." One time, "Do not be terrified." Well, you're going to continue to hear, that is, if you make the mistake of listening to mainstream media, that's how they generate fear and instill fear in the hearts of the people. They're trying to control us through fear. You're going to hear new reports. Oh, it's terrible. More and more people are dying. This thing is spreading. It's all designed to cause people to fear. And just like Ezekiel, do not be afraid. Don't be terrified. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. John 14:27. Very important scripture to remember. Another prophet, known as the weeping prophet, Jeremiah. He faced an enemy. He had a lot of enemies. But Pasher was one of them. Pasher was a man that had the ability in government to severely persecute Jeremiah. And in fact, this chief officer in the temple of the Lord heard Jeremiah prophesying these things. And he had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put in stocks. Now, how about that? Jeremiah is only doing the will of God. He's only repeating what God told him to say. He's only giving the message that God had for him. And it wasn't a feel-good message. None of the prophets had that kind of message. They were all unpleasant messages. And it caused them to be hated. Yet the message was vital. They stood alone. Remember the prophets, James said. And then we got Micaiah. 1 Kings 22. Oh, little known Micaiah. Slapped in his face. Outnumbered 400 to 1. A false prophet, one of the chief false prophets, Zedekiah, went up to him and slapped him right in the face. Folks, and the man, they sent him afterwards back to jail. That was their earthly life. Don't be having no pity party. Chances are you've had it 1,000 times, 100,000 times, better than the prophets or those that have wandered in the deserts, the mountains, the caves, and holes in the ground. Stand firm. Stay true to Jesus, regardless what happens. John the Baptist, he wasn't just a prophet. He was more than a prophet, according to what Jesus said. How did they treat him? They arrested him, cut his head off. But the ultimate example of unjust treatment was Jesus. Remember him so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Remember what Jesus went through. Ezekiel tied with ropes. Jeremiah beaten, put in stocks, lowered in a mud pit at a different time. Micaiah slapped in prison. John the Baptist beheaded. But remember Jesus. And be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Deception is continuing on. It has continued on from Old Testament times right on up through, especially now. Why? The devil is not in the lake of fire yet. He's a liar, a deceiver, and he's behind the mark of the beast. That's how I know it's coming deceitfully. There are two champion warriors. Back in Old Testament times, they were in David's army. David had mighty men of valor, warriors that would go into hand-to-hand combat. I want to mention two of them. Little known. Chances are you might never have heard of them before. Either one. The first one is Eleazar. 2 Samuel 23:9-10. The men of Israel retreated, but he, that's Eleazar, stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. And then all you have to do is read two more verses. 2 Samuel 23:11-12. And you'll read of Shammah, S-H-A-M-M-A-H. It says, when the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. But Shammah stood his ground in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck down the Philistines. And the Lord brought about a great victory. So in both cases, Eleazar and Shammah two champions, two warriors, two men of courage. Everybody around them, they all fled. They were alone in battle. That's what you got to be. If people around you, everybody you know, if they all fall away, if they're all pressured, they're all squeezed, I'm going to lose my house, I'll lose my car, I'll lose my property, I'll lose everything unless I get this mark. Don't you take that mark. That's what the Bible says he's going to try to do. Force us, everyone, small, great, rich, poor, free slaves, to take that mark. Stand firm. You must endure to the end to be saved. Listen to this. Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And the next verse, Romans 8:18, Paul wrote, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Let's make an analogy. Let's say you suffered, and there's going to be misery and trouble and problems, serious pain and suffering and tears. People dying around you. People you love dying. Suffering. You're suffering. Let's say that's Mount Everest. Folks, you can't compare a Mount Everest of suffering in this temporary time right now to a universe of glory that shall be revealed in us. Hang in there. The clock is ticking. This is winding down. This time period is not going to continue on and on forever. It's going to culminate. We're going to get out of here. Stay faithful. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and not loving their life so much as their shrink from death. How about the apostles of the Lord Jesus? How about old Peter and John? Oftentimes, the person's all alone. But in this particular case, there were two apostles together. Peter and John, two fishermen. Acts 4, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. They saw the courage of Peter and John. That's what you need to have. You need to have that kind of courage. This comes from knowing God, from being built up, getting it through the Word by praying for such, getting sin out of your life, doing the will of God. Start witnessing. If you're out witnessing, telling others about Jesus, start immediately. That's what God wants us to do. Folks, Hebrews 3, verse 6. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Hold on to your courage. The devil doesn't want you to hold on to it. He's going to try to instill fear. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to beat you down. Sometimes nobody's going to be around to encourage you with Bible truth. That's why you got to get in your heart. Get it in your heart now. Learn these truths now. Store them away in your heart. You need to forgive everybody that has sinned against you. And what is yet to occur, you're going to be hated and betrayed. You're going to be taken into captivity. You're going to be sinned against all the way through this whole thing. Unjust treatment, sinned against, forgive them all. You got to forgive them so your sins will be forgiven according to Jesus. Oh, folks, hallelujah. The Bible is so great. It's so wonderful. Thank God we got these truths so that we know what's happening. 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kind of trials. Just a little while. That's all. Just a little while. All kind of trials. More trials coming. but it's coming to an end as well. The rest of your earthly life, if you're the typical, ordinary, run-of-the-mill person, is going to be summed up in seals 3 and 4. That's it, folks. Seals 3 and 4. Imagine that. Seals 3 and 4. Seals 1 and 2, already past tense. The second seal, it says, and another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. That's exactly what we see. We see doctors and nurses slaying each other with this injection. A large sword. There's many maimed, killed, wounded because of this COVID injection. Seal 3 is next. Get ready, folks. Prepare for it spiritually. It's unavoidable. He's going to conquer the saints, meaning we're going to go into captivity and get our head cut off. Jesus wanted the saints, the faithful saints, to know what was before them. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. He said, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. You will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Jesus wanted them to know that suffering was before them. Why? It would strengthen them. Suffering is before us. It's the norm, but it's temporary. It's just for a little while. And thank God, hallelujah, we finally get to go home. But this is our opportunity. Klaus Schwab got his, we got ours. We can glorify Jesus with our death. So take advantage of it. And remember this, when you're persecuted, remember, when you're persecuted, you get a great reward because you were persecuted for righteousness. Paul had scars all over his body and nothing stopped him. It says in Hebrews 10, verse 32, remember those earlier days when you received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. And that's what it is. It's a spiritual war, a spiritual battle. It's raging for souls, including yours. Now stand firm. Be a man of courage. You must endure to the end to get into paradise. It's going to be well worth all this. This is your time of testing. Hold firm. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and not loving their lives so much as to shrink from death.